Hey, look, Commissioner goes up. So if you've got an inner and an outer chotzer, if the inside chotzer has an Erev and the outside chotzer doesn't have an Erev, so then as we just said, the inside chotzer is fine, the outside chotzer is going to be usher because it doesn't matter. The fact is they don't have an Erev for themselves and they've got other people that are walking through. So how about if the chitzona makes an Erev and not the inside? But then both of them are usher, because even though the chitzona has an Erev, since the inside people don't have an Erev and they're going to be walking through in order to get out of the chotzer, they're going to be walking through the outer chotzer, they are a regular ha'oseret b'mekoma, and a regular ha'oseret b'mekoma, everybody seems to agree over here that that would definitely be a problem. The outside chotzer is also going to be kaput, even though they made their own Erev. So then it wouldn't matter. There's no way that they can make their own Erev. Now, how about if each one makes their own Erev for themselves? Then the halacha is that each one is mutter. Why is that? Because obviously, since even the regel that is passing through the outside one has its own Erev, it's regel hamuteret b'makoma, which is not going to be Aser Shalo b'makoma. Now, it's extremely important to note the implications of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah seems to be saying very clearly that the opening Tana holds that only if the rego of the Pnimit is Asura in its place will it Aser the Chitzona. But if it's Mutter in its place because it has its own Erev, then it doesn't matter if it's passing through the chitzona. As long as the chitzona has its own Erev, the chitzona is kosher. Okay, now we're assuming that this is the das of the Chachomim, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Akiva argues, as we saw before, Rabbi Akiva says, nope, doesn't matter whether it has allowed to be in its own place, even though it's a regular muteret b'makoma, it still is always going to aser the chitzona. Why? Shedrisat haregel osarta. The very fact that other people that have a right to be there are walking through didn't participate in your Erev, ipso facto, you don't have everyone in the Erev. Now, we seem to have a repetition over here. V'chachamim omrim. The chachamim say, no, the drisat haregel doesn't aser. Now, there's two ways of understanding that, gentlemen. Either these chachamim are a third shita, and they are saying, nonsense, drisas haregel never asers, and only an indigenous member of a chotzer asers. I don't care whether he has an easement on your chotzer or not, which would be a third shita. The Tanakama would be saying, regala muteret b'mekoma doesn't aser, regala seret b'mekoma does aser. Rabbi Akiva would say, all regal that passes through your chotzer asers. And then this is a third shita that's saying, nah, regal never asers. It's got to actually be living there in order to aser. Possibly. Or this might possibly be, for some odd reason, a repetition of the Tanakama, which we'd have to figure out. So what is it adding exactly? Didn't you already say that? All to be explored in the Gemara. Now, there's also the same idea, even if you made an Erev, but one guy forgot to join the Erev. So, let's go over the cases again. If one guy in the outside chotzer forgot to join the Erev, and they both had made their own Erev, so then the inside chotzer, they're okay, because they have their own Erev, and only the chitzona is aser. Suppose a guy on the inside Erev forgot, and he didn't make an Erev. Then both are aser. Why both are aser? Because if the inside is aser, then ipso facto the outside is aser, since it's regular asura b'mekoma. Whether you hold of the Tanakama or whether you hold of Rabbi Akiva, regular aseret b'mekoma is going to aser shelo b'mekoma bedrisat haregel. Now, what about if one of the inside people forgot in a case where they had put their Erev in one of the chatzeros, namely the outer chatzer? So if notnu eruvam b'makom echad, if they put their eruv in a place where they both would have been able to be ma'arv with each other, then if one of them forgot, whether it's from the inside or from the outside, then both of them are going to be usur, because there is no way for the inside to say, well, I mean, what would be the problem? What would be the problem? We're going to close ourselves off. Well, we're going to see. Remember, we had that case before. If the case would be that a member of the inside forgot, they're messed up. But what about if a member of the outside forgot? So it says over here, both are usur no matter what. V'ima, we're going to go into that in the Gemara. And im ha'yushal yechidim, if, however, each one of these chatzers was not occupied by two people, so then the fact that there are two people, if you include drisat haregel, that doesn't create the need for an eruv. In other words, even though one is passing through the other and one plus one equals two, but one drisat haregel plus one dayar does not equal two to be mechayev an eruv. That's important to remember. So drisat haregel will only answer a place where there is a need for an eruv. It will not create the need for an eruv. So now we have our basic ideas. And when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted Rav Yanai as saying the most unusual thing, but I already hinted to you in the Mishnah why it isn't necessarily as crazy as it sounds. That all of this is only according to Rabbi Akiva, because it's Rabbi Akiva who says that afilu regel hamuteret b'mekoma is asur shelo b'mekoma. However, okay, obviously I know that, but here's what Rabbi Yanai says that sounds crazy. But the Chachomim say no regel asurs. Kishem sheregel hamuteret eina oseret, kach regel haasura eina oseret, which is, of course, crazy. Because we know very well, we just read the Mishnah, we're not idiots. It says in the Mishnah, it gives us a number of cases where there is a difference between regel ha-muteret b'mekoma and regel ha-asura b'mekoma. So how could anybody say something so nutty? Now, you know the answer to that. The answer is obviously that he's not referring to the Tanakama, he's referring to the last Chachomim, which is a third shita, and which makes a great deal of sense, because why would we be repeating v'chachomim omrim ein regel oseret? What does that mean? Says that's what he's going to end up meaning. But right now we don't understand that. We think he's referring to the single chachomim who appear twice. They appear as the Tanakama, and they appear as v'chachomim omrim. So the Gemara says that's impossible. Look at the Mishnah. You'll see clearly that that's not true. It says over there in the Mishnah that if the outside chotzer made an eruv, but the inside chotzer did not make an eruv, in that case, both are usur. Now, obviously, the only reason it's saying they're both usur is because the inside one did not make an eruv, right? But if the inside one would have made an eruv, the implications are that then the outside one wouldn't have had a problem. I mean, so then what you're saying is that regel hamuteret b'mekoma doesn't usur, and only regel asur b'mekoma usur. Can you tell me who said that? I mean, is Rabbi Yanai claiming Rabbi Akiva said that? How could it be Rabbi Akiva? Ilema Rabbi Akiva, why would we talk about a case where the inside chotzer was asura because they didn't make an eruv? Rabbi Akiva says in the very next case, even if they did make an eruv, they would have asura. Afilu regel hamuteret nami. So what is the point of saying a ratio where the regel is asura? Just tell me the case. Anytime somebody passes through somebody else's chutzner, they're always going to be usur. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. So it can't be Rabbi Akiva. It's got to be the Rabbanan. So obviously the Rabbanan do not say what Rabbi Yanai says. The Rabbanan say, look, it depends. If the regel is muteret, it does not usur. If the regel is asura, it does usur, right? So what are you telling me, Rabbi Yanai, that according to the Chachomim, the din is it doesn't matter, regel never usurs? Well, maybe what Rabbi Yanai was saying is that actually it is Rabbi Akiva. So why is he talking? No, it was Rabbi Akiva introducing. In other words, let me give you a case. Imagine a case where the regel is usur. You understand that that clearly is going to ask to the outside, right? So now let me tell you the next case. Even if the regal is mutter, right, that's called lozo avzo. Not only this case am I telling you, but I'm going to tell you yet another case. I'm going to introduce the sugya to you so that you understand the gradations of the iser of regal that is passing through. Drisa sa regal. Maybe that's how to understand the Mishnah. Oh, come on, man. Look at the next piece of the Mishnah, for heaven's sakes. How can you deny that somebody is in this Mishnah is saying that there's a difference between a regal muteret and a regal asura? I mean, it's outrageous. Read the next piece in the Mishnah. Irva zolatzma vzolatzma. If each one has its own eruv, each one is muteret bifnei atzma. Why? Because they made an eruv. Don't tell me this is the chachomi because regal never asers, then why did they need to make an Erev? The whole point in the mission is, if they both made an Erev and they're both mutter, so then there can't be Rabbi Akiva, it wouldn't matter to him. So obviously, hello, Erev, if there wouldn't have been an Erev, then they both would have been aser. So now this Tana is saying, I don't care what name you want to give him, okay, let's forget the name. Is there a Tana right now who is saying clearly, regula muteret is not going to aser, and regula asura does aser, okay? Let's first agree that that theoretical Tana exists. Thank you. Is that a theoretical Tana, Rabbi Akiva? Obviously not, because Rabbi Akiva holds both of them aser. Okay, so then this theoretical ghostly shita, which you refuse to acknowledge, is the Chachamim. So who the heck is he? Obviously, it's the Chachamim. So what are you trying to read into the Mishnah? It's got to be the Rabbanan. Not to mention the fact that you're ignoring the whole last piece of the Mishnah where one of the guys forgot and everything else. Let's look at that part too, okay? What about the fact that Rabbi Akiva is only introduced in the end, right? And then we get the Chachamim. So then that implies, no, says Rabbi Akiva, it's usher. Okay, so who was the one who said the first part? It was not Rabbi Akiva. Apparently the Reish is not Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, these Chachamim are the opening Shita in the Mishnah, okay? So what are you telling me that the Chachamim don't hold that? We can sort of kvetch, okay? You want to kvetch, I'll kvetch in that we can follow Rabbi Akiva and the whole mission, okay? Here, watch me. It's a little tricky, but watch me do it. It's all Rabbi Akiva. Of course, you need to insert a few words here and there. But if you're ready to accept that the Mishnah is there to confuse you and you need to put in a few words, everything works out fine, okay? So let's say we take the case, okay, and it says, Yirva zula atzma vizula atzma. Each one is muteret bifnei atzma, which you said, aha, aha, aha. So that proves that there's got to be a putative tana. No. Insert the following words. When do we say that each one is muteret bifnei atzma? Only if the inside people cut themselves off from the outside people by the fabulous approach of utilizing a daka. And nobody's going to ask daka. Mandoch HaShmei, who mentioned the daka? The Mechassuri Mechassra mentions the daka. So if the Pnimit, remember what a daka is. A daka is a miniature door. So in other words, if you basically cut yourself off from the outside one by pretending that you are Alice in Wonderland, and now all of a sudden you've got this tiny door with a little bottle in front of it, and now the question is, can you get through to the outside one? So you're saying, what in the world is this tiny door doing there? Ah, so it's an indication that you want to have nothing to do with the outside one. Okay, fine. So in that case, yes, Rabbi Akiva agrees that basically you've given up your rights of Drisus HaRego, so then it doesn't answer. But if you didn't make a daka, then Chitzona Asura Divrei Rebbe Akiva, She Rebbe Akiva Oseret HaChitzona, Bipnei Shedrisus HaRego is always Oseret, and the Chachomim say, no, Drisus HaRego is never Oseret. So watch me pull a rabbit out of a hat. By using a daka. Yes. So it all starts with falling down the rabbit hole. Moshe Rabibi Barabai. Still doesn't work because you didn't get down to the last piece of the Mishnah. Ima Yusho Yechidim Ain't Tzuchin La'arev. If you have one guy in the inside and one guy in the outside, then they don't need an Erev. But if they do have two people in the inside and two people in the outside, then they do need an Erev. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because if the regel is going to pass through, it's going to answer. But if you make an Erev in the inside, then it won't answer, okay? So now here we come up again with this other putative Tana that you refuse to acknowledge that holds regala muteret bimekoma eino oseret and regala asura bimekoma is oseret. So, I mean, this is just ridiculous. Not to mention the fact that it doesn't make sense from the other piece. Because Od Masi Ravina, it says if one person from the outside chotzer forgot and he didn't make an error of the inside is mutter and the outside is usher. But if one person from the inside forgets, both of them are usher. And if he didn't forget? What if he didn't forget? Then they wouldn't both be usher. Aha. Uh-huh. Why not? Because it's a regular mutter bimakoma. But if he does forget, then he's a regular usher bimakoma. And then if he walks to the outside one, he's going to usher. Another invisible, putative Tana that ghostly holds that the halacha is that there's a difference between regala mutar b'mekom and asur b'mekom. There's no other way to read that, is there? So in other words, time of the shachach. The only problem is that he forgot. But if he hadn't forgotten, everything would be fine. So again, ama regala mutar ein asur, regala asura is asura. So I say, Rabbi Yonai might as well throw in the towel. There's a limit to how much surgery you could do on a Mishnah. Says the Gemara. The whole thing, the way Rav Dimi quoted Rabbi Yonai was a disaster. Ravin quoted Rabbi Yonai when he came from Eretz Yisrael. He quoted Rabbi Yonai properly. Now Rabbi Yonai explained himself very beautifully. There are three shitas, said Rabbi Yonai. We have the Tana Kama. Obviously, the Tana Kama that spoke about the case where you were did not make an Erev in the inside, you asked to the outside. He holds that if the regal is muteret and you did make an Erev, then you wouldn't ask to the outside. If you didn't make the Erev, then it's your regal asura, and you would. Fine. Then comes Rabbi Akiva. No, it says Rabbi Akiva doesn't help to make an Erev. Even regular muteret bimakoma, as long as the inside is going to walk through the outside, it's going to answer it. Then you have this inexplicable apparent repetition of the shita of the Tana Kama that says, "V'chachamim omrim, ein regel oseret shelo bimkoma." That's a third shita, obviously. Is that going to repeat the Tana Kama? So that shita is saying there is no such thing as drisat haregel asering. Drisat haregel doesn't aser. Don't we all agree that only indigenous dwellers in the chotzer will aser? So now just because I have an easement, that makes me an indigenous dweller? No, I'm passing through. So you're saying, but we can't stop you from passing. So how does that make a difference? You can't pass. You can't stop me. You're right. I have a court order. No. But nonetheless, I don't live with you, so why should I aser? That's a third shita. There's no such thing as drisat haregel. And then we have the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and the Tana Kama. That's all that Rabbi Yonai was saying, which is beautiful, makes heck of a lot of sense. So therefore, the Tana Kama holds, it depends whether you're asur or muter. Rabbi Akiva holds, even if you're muter. And the Rabbanan Basroi, the second mention of Chachomim, which is not to be confused with the Tana Kama hold, the same way regal muteret eino oseret, so too regal asura eino oseret. Now, the next piece of the Mishnah says, if they put their Erev in one place, and then it doesn't matter whether somebody from the inside forgot or somebody from the outside forgot, both of them are usher. Now, when you say one place, is that a particular one place, or is that either in the inside or outside one place in order to mix the two? Says the Gemara, Omer of Yudah Marav, it means only The whole Mishnah only makes sense if we're talking about they put their Erev together in the outside chutzner. So why does it say in one place? I mean, one place seems to be wherever it is, a single place, right? No. Doesn't mean a single place. Mokom echad in Lashon HaKodesh can mean echad umyuchad. In other words, it is the one place that is open to both of their rights. And that's only the outside. Because the inside is not open to the outer people's rights, but the outside is by definition open to the inner person because I have my court order to be able to walk through your rishus. So that's what it's talking about. Now we're going to bring up that whole issue that we had earlier in the whole discussion of Rava and Shmuel and Abaye and how to understand the limitations of not being able to be mevato rishus b'chotzer l'chotzer. And we're going to go through that logic again. This time expand on it in a way that allows us to see the interrelationship between Shmuel's din of Ein Mevatlim Michotzer L'Chotzer with the shitas of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan about Regel Ha'Oseret. So here's how it works. You can see clearly that Rav Yehuda is right and that the Mokom Echad means only, like Rav Yehuda Merav said, the Mokom that is outside. Not if they both put it in a panemius. And here's where it spells that out, as we spoke about earlier. If they put the Erev in the outside chutzner together, and that way they would be able to carry one from the other. And then somebody forgot. Now, I don't care who he is. He could be from the outside. He could be from the inside. Bottom line is, if he didn't join the Erev, forget it. There's no Erev. I mean, maybe it could be Bavata Rishus, but right now there's no Erev. So shteyem are asurot. We're going to see there's no way to be mevatel, to be mevatel rishus from one chotzer to the other here. Natnu eruvam bepnimit, but if the eruv had been put together from the outside and the inside, in the inside, then it depends. And remember, this was Rava's annotation to the din of Shmuel. Then it depends. Who forgot? If it's somebody from the pnimit that forgot and he didn't make an eruv, they're both messed up. Shteyem asurot. But if somebody from the outside messed up, if, according to Rabbi Akiva, they're also both usur, but according to Chachomim, in this particular case, the pnimit essentially can slam the door in front of the other people, and they can say, look, man, we don't have any interest in having you guys in our chutzner. We've got our own Erev. You're a bunch of schmoes. You can't even get your Erev together. Somebody forgot to join the Erev. What a bunch of nuts. We should never have made the Erev with you. You're out. It was mekachtos. And therefore, the inside is mutter, and the chitzona is asur. Now, we're going to analyze the logic of what that difference is. Omrei Rabba Bachan Labai. Why, according to the Rabbonan, in the case of the pnimit, we're saying if it wasn't one of their members, it was one of the outside members that messed up. So what they're effectively doing is slamming the door on the outside people, right? Because they're saying, okay, well, we don't need you. We don't want you. We have our own Erev. No room for schmoes. And there's a big sign on the clubhouse, no chitzoniot allowed. Okay. So then why is that? Obviously, because that's what they've done. They've have effectively slammed the door on the outside people. Mishum da'achta da'asha u'mishtamsha. So that makes a heck of a lot of sense. What does Rabbi Akiva have against that logic? I mean, this doesn't seem to have anything to do with the fundamental issue between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim of Regala Asura b'mekoma. So what's Rabbi Akiva's problem exactly? L'Rabbi Akiva Nami Techadasha V'Teshamesh. Slam the door and use it. Oh, Marley, no, you can't do that. How can you slam a door when you've got these other people's Erev in your Rishas? I mean, that's what you agreed to when you signed on the Erev. You can't just slam the door on them. So the Erev basically brings them in. So how can they now cut themselves off if they've agreed to the Erev? Hey, yeah, that's true. So according to Rabbonan, doesn't the Erev allow the other people to come in? No, of course not. They can say, do you think that we're idiots? that we would have signed on with you if we would have known what kind of schmoes you are? That you can't get your Erev together and one of you forgets? Absolutely not. This is a mistake, and therefore this will hold up in court. Nobody would have signed on with schmoes. And therefore the sign on the door reads, no schmoes allowed. Fine. So therefore we could slam the door. So according to Rabbi Akiva also, why can't they say the same thing? We entered this Erev in order to make things better, okay? Not to make things worse. Now you're messing us up totally. We wouldn't have made the Erev with you. At least we could have carried in our own chatzar. We would have had a nice picnic dinner all together outside the chatzar. Now because we signed up with you, we can't even carry out the cholent outside. So why would you think that we would want such a thing? Isn't that a good taina? This is a common taina that we accept all over in the Gemara in terms of shlichut and so on and so forth. What's the word? L'tikunin shivatich. I put you into the position that I did because I wanted to help myself out. V'lola avati. Not to mess myself up. That's an important munach that is all over Shas. So how come Rabbi Akiva says? No, because Rabbi Akiva says, well, we didn't really mess you up. I mean, you can't say we messed you up because we can always be mevatel arishus to you, and we could say that we're not going to go back in. Okay? So since theoretically we could be mevatel arishus, you can't just go ahead and unilaterally be mevatel the Erev. I mean, come and let's discuss it. And the Rabbanan say, that's not an option. They don't have an option of being mevatel rishus because of the din of ein mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another chatzar. So therefore, it means that Rabbi Akiva has to hold that you are mevatel rishus from one chatzar to another. Oh my God, that's a disaster. Because if that's what Rabbi Akiva holds, now we have a new machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about whether mevatlim rishus b'chotzer l'chotzer or not. Doesn't that ring familiar, that machlokas? It was a machlokas amarayim between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Now how the heck were Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan arguing about a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in this mission? That's outrageous. That can't be the explanation. What, are you trying to tell me that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are actually arguing in the Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva, Kamiflage? That Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Akiva? It's impossible. No, because it doesn't mean that. Shmuel will say, listen, I had no problem. I would say, even according to Rabbi Akiva, that you, and when I said that you cannot be mevatel rishus between one chatzar and the other. And here Rabbi Akiva is saying, well, I mean, why do you unilaterally cancel your Erev? You should have spoken to us about Bitul Rishus. I could say to you that I agree with Rabbi Akiva too. The only reason Rabbi Akiva is saying over here that you can be Mevatel Rishus is because one chatzar is inside the other chatzar. And I was referring to a case where one chatzar is side by side. Then I was saying, side by side, okay, over there. Why would we give you an emergency measure to be mevatel your shos? You live perfectly well in your chatzar until now with your own independent door. So you live the Shabbos also with your own independent door, and you won't carry your cholent next door. So what? That's what I said. But in a case where you're asr na'adadeh, I never would have said it. Over there, the two side by side, don't asr. Now look. This is not so pashut, because that was gufa part of the machlokas between Abaye and Rava, how we understand, is Shmuel going to agree in a case where you're asering, right? So Tosfos says it doesn't matter, because what Shmuel might be saying is only, not that I agree 100%, but that the yesod is still true according to Rabbi Akiva, the aim of Atmichotzer L'chotzer. This question about whether in a case where the Aser, that's a different question. So in other words, if you understand the Machlokas earlier, like a bias, so fine, so that's how he'll explain it over here. It doesn't mean totally. All right, it may just be going according to one and not the other. All right, anyway, that's what Shmuel will say. Rabbi Yochanan will say, I don't have a problem according to Rabbanan either. Because Ad Kan Lo Ka'amri Rabbanan Asim, when did the Rabbanan say over here that we do not say you can be Mevatel? That's what they're saying. They're saying, no, Ein Mevatel Mechotzer L'Chotzer. Yes, fine. All they're saying is, gentlemen, we don't like you. We don't want you. You are schmoes. You messed her up. But you should have given us a chance to be mevata rishos. We don't give chances to schmoes. Were you mevata rishos? Well, we'll do it now. Too late. We've already slammed the door. Bye-bye, schmoes. That's all. What am I, mechuyev? I got to worry about this. Meanwhile, that first minute, did you make our lives miserable by telling us we can't bring our challah down? The moment we heard that, we basically brought our challah out and we said no schmoes allowed. Why don't you give us a chance? Because we want to eat our challah. Well, we have to give you a chance. So basically, meanwhile, Adam Avalat Mivataltali, you're meanwhile being osring on me for the next 30 seconds. I got no patience for this. But in the case where one chutzner is side by side, fine over there. Over there, maybe they're not going to osser. So if they're not going to osser, then maybe it doesn't have the right to go ahead and to be mevat rishus. This has nothing to do with that standard case. Okay. Now let's take a look at that last piece. The last piece says if each chutzner only had one guy in it, two people are not mechuyev in an eruv when they don't actually live in the same chutzner. And Drizus HaRegel can create a problem where an eruv is needed, but Drizus HaRegel does not create the need. Beautiful. Now, Rabbi Yosef says, you know, Rebbe taught a brisa, and in the brisa it says that if there's a total of three people, so let's say one of them has two and the other one has one, then there actually is a problem. So in the case, if the inside chutzner has two, so I understand that that would be true because it would be osir bimakoma, and then it would be regular osir bimakoma that's walking through, and that may osir. But he says that the Rabbanim made a gezera in all cases that the inside chutzner is mutter because there's only one person living in the inside chutzner. But we're afraid that people who see two people in the outside will assume there's two people in the inside. There's no, they know nobody made any Erev over here, and they'll think so. Okay, so apparently it's mutter to do that. Kamashmal, that we made a gezera, and we don't allow it ever if there's a total of three. That's what Rebbe taught. Rav Bibi heard this and said, pay no attention, that's crazy. Rebbe never said such a thing. I taught it to him. I can't believe now he's saying it's Rebbe. I taught it to him, not Rebbe. And I said it over the name of Rav Adar Bar Ava, not in Rebbe's name. And I explained that. I even explained it to him. I explained it to him by saying, Ho'il v'ani korei behem rabim b'chitzona, since basically I'm defining the chitzona as a mokum of rabim. So people are going to say, oh, it's a chutzner shel rabim, and they didn't make an eruv, and even though the people inside, what people inside? Well, they don't know. They see a chutzner shel rabim. Omer of Yosef, oh my God, I'm crazy. I can't believe that I suffered so much from this idiotic illness that when I tried to reconstruct what had happened, I remembered the word rabim, and I thought the word rabim was Rebbe. Oh, God in heaven. I'm nuts. Rabim Barebi Ichlifli. Shish. Disaster. All right. Yeah. So, man, is he right? Rebbe never said that. It was actually Rav Bibi who explained it, and I got mixed up with the word Rabim. Anyway, Shmuel says that's not true. He disagrees with Rav Adar Bar Ava. And Shmuel says, hey, look, if there's not two people in the inside, you can't ask. And there's no such thing as put it all together and you got three. If you've got two people in the inside, so then it's regular, it's a surah bimakoma. So fine, then, enochinami. Then it will answer the outside. But if only one person lives inside, there's no such gezera. When you come up with a gezera, people will say there are two people in the inside. I mean, come off it, man. Enough is enough. Omar Rabbi Elazar, listen, let me tell you something. If there is one goy that lives in the inside, so he's the equivalent of having more than one Jew on the inside, and he will answer the outside. Unless, of course, you're actually going to pay money and you're going to rent the rishus from him. So in other words, what Rabbi Elazar is saying that it's true that if one Jew lives on the inside, that he's not going to aser because he's regular that is muter b'makoma. But if one goy lives on the inside, then he will. What? What's the difference? Mashna Yisrael de lo aser, because we're going to say, listen, you're saying we don't make a gezeira. Why? Because if you know that there's one person living there, so you know the situation, so then you know that he doesn't aser the outside. So mandi yada yada. If you don't know who lives there, then you don't know what's going on. So you can easily assume that there was an eruv that was made, right? So, I mean, the same logic is true over here. If there's a goy inside, right? So do you know what's going on? Then you know that he's alone. And yeah, mandi yada yada. Are you one of the neighbors? Then you know what's going on. You know that he's alone. If you don't know that he's alone, so then you're assuming there's Jews living there also. So then you're also going to think that he rented the rishus from the goy. Same way you said he's going to think that they made an Erev, you can say he's going to think that they rented the rishus from the goy, because we're saying he doesn't know what's going on, right? No, not right. I'll tell you why. There's a big difference between a goy that lives in the rishus and a Jew that lives in the rishus. Why? Because goyim love to bitch about Jews. That's why. So basically, this guy is going to go around, all around town. He's going to be talking about what the Jews did this week. And he's going to be saying, nobody rented my rishus. And if somebody did rent his rishus, he's talking about, I don't know what these Jews do, renting rishus. What in the world? And everybody will know in town whether there was a rental from this guy or not, you see. Mashenke, when it comes to making an Erev, how am I supposed to know what's doing in the rishus from the Erev? The guy is sitting around in the local bar, and that's all he's talking about is the Erev. So everybody knows what's going on. So he always blabbles. He's mifapoy, he's got nothing to talk about. So this is what the taxi cab driver knows, his barber knows, his bartender knows, the whole town is talking about it. So of course over there, I would know. Hey, they didn't rent out my home. Oh. So then that means that if you're walking through another chatzer, it doesn't matter. By the way, the Tosis points out a very sweet point, which is really beautiful. And that is, okay, but I mean, isn't the fact that the goy himself is always by definition, regal that's oseret b'mekoma, no? I mean, if he's walking through your chatzer and there's two people in your chatzer, then a goy with two people is always a regal that's asura. So why wouldn't that be a reason to ask the outside? And Tosis says, because you can't be more machmir on a goy with his not even living in the chatzar asuring on two Jews, on one Jew, than you would, because there's one Jew there, than you would with a Jew that would be in the same chatzar with the goy. I mean, how could it be more chomer in two chatzeras? We can't do that. I mean, that's to add up. So because of that, that's not even entertained over here. Okay, now we get into another issue. Remember that we defined earlier, what type of house is the house that is going to be the defining you as living in the chatzars, right? So we said, how about if a guy owns a Beit Shar, or he owns a mirpeset, or he owns a garage in the other chutz. Does he answer it or not? So we said he doesn't, according to Rebbe Yehuda. And that's the way that we pass it. Now, what's interesting is how this issue of Beit Sha'ar actually is much more complex than it appears. Because a Beit Sha'ar is not only something which is constructed as a literal guardhouse. A Beit Shar simply means if you live in the effective entrance to another house, then only the inside house needs to give an Erev. But anybody that lives in Beit Shar is not Mechayev a separate Erev, right? Now imagine a case where you've got 10 houses, one behind the other. The only way out of house number 10, all the way at the end, is to walk through houses 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 until you get out the door into the chutz, right? And if you're in number 7, so then you walk out through number 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom, out in the chutz, right? So now there's other houses in this chutz too. who has to give the Erev? Well, since effectively houses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are entranceways into house number 10, only house number 10 has to give the Erev, because everybody else is living in a halachically defined Beit Shar. Aha. So in that case, if you've got 10 inside, only house number 10 has to give the Erev, and that's enough. No, says Rabbi Yochanan, even the outside house has to give. The outside house? I mean, what do you mean? Surely that's a Beit Shar, no? I don't mean the outside house. I mean the outside of the inside house, meaning house number 9. So it's not only number 10, it's house number 9. Whoa, that's weird. What are you arguing about? We're arguing about whether you can be a Beit Shar for just one person. So one person who lives in house number 10 is not fancy enough to deserve a Beit Shar. It's a Beit Shar if there's two people there. So, okay, so if you put number 9 and 10 together, then number 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, and so on become the Beit Shar for number 9 and 10. But you can't just be a Beit Shar including number 9. That's the machlokas. So that's all. Okay, now, I got another brilliant case for you, okay? Let's say that you've got two chatzerot. Now, imagine the situation is like this. You've got two chatzerot, a lot of houses in these two chatzerot, and these two chatzerot have a very interesting connection between them. The connection between them is that chatzer number 1 has house number 1 that we'll call in it, plus all the houses A, B, C, D. Chatzer number 2 has house number 2 in it, plus a lot of A, B, C, Ds. And then houses 1 and 2 are connected between them with a door to the house between them. So that's the middle house. Okay. So now it's fascinating, because supposing in this case, somebody comes from chatzer number 1, walks through house number 1 in chatzer number 1, and puts his Erev in middle house. And then in the other chatzer, somebody walks through house number 2 in chatzer number 2, and he puts his Erev in middle house. Aha! So that means both Chatzer 1 and Chatzer 2 have a Beit Shar to middle house. And now middle house has a Beit Shar going in both directions. And so they have both shared their Erev. Zeh ba derech zeh, and noteni ruva bezeh. Bezeh ba derech zeh, venoteni ruva bezeh. So then it works beautifully. Because number 1 is the Beit Shar to middle house for 1, and number 2 is the Beit Shar for middle house for 2, and the middle house itself doesn't need to give an Erev either, because it's the house where they put the Erev, and the din is the house that they put the Erev doesn't need to give the Erev. So therefore, none of these houses need to give the Erev. Great. Brilliant. Now, all of this was there in order to give a test, you see. So Rechava decided he's going to give a bechina to see how well his Talmidim think. So he says, okay, gentlemen, now remove middle house. Okay, same case, no middle house. Now, what's the din if one goes through house 1 but deposits their Erev directly in house 2 in Chatzer 2? And Chatzer 2 goes through house 2 and deposits its Erev in the house, which is number 1 in Chatzer number 1. So now we've got the same situation or not. So zeh ba derech zeh v'noteni ruva bezeh v'deh ba derech zeh v'notani ruva bezeh. You've got 10 seconds. Konu Erev olo. So what's the question? Me mashvit lu lagabi da high bayit beit shar, lagabi da high bayit beit shar, and lagabi da high bayit or lagabi da high bayit or not? Because here's the problem, gentlemen. You can't put your Erev in a beit shar. You have to put your Erev in a house. So number 1 says, well, we did put our Erev in a house. House number 2. And we walked through the beit shar to house number 2. So then the other chatzar says, yeah, we also put our Erev in a house. House number one. And house number two was just the Beit HaShar. Now, this is ridiculous because it's like the same guy wanting the same girl, and they're both two guys wanting the same girl, and they're asking God, please make sure nobody else gets the girl. I mean, you're sort of putting God in a difficult position, right? Okay, so what happens over here? If house one is a Beit HaShar, which is the only way it would work for people in one, so then how could the people that put their Erev in house number one have an Erev? Because then it put it in a Beit HaShar. If you're going to consider it to be a house, then it's got to be a house, because two is a house for the people to put it in number one. But if two is a house, then that would mean that the people who walk through that house and put their Erev in the other house put their Erev in the wrong chatzar, because they can't walk through a house to get to their Erev. You're not allowed to even carry from the inside to the outside because it's two different chatzaras, some amount of shach. So the question is, can we look at the whole thing as being relative? So the house number one, relative to the people in number one, is a Beit HaShar, and relative to the people in number two is a house. And house number two, relative to the people in number two, is a Beit HaShar. But relative to the people in number one, it's the actual house. So is it possible to look at the same thing as all being relative simultaneously? That's my question to you. Now let me resume the count. Doot, doot, doot. Boing. Umrule, absolutely not. Nobody gets the Erev. Why? Because you got to make up your mind. Either it's a house or it's a Beit HaShar. So therefore, Maman of Shach. Ibeit Shar Mashavit Le, you're going to call it to be a house? You then not know Tenet Ruva Bebeit Shar or Naksad or Repeset is no good. You can't put your Erev in a Beit Shar. Ibeit Mashvit Le, and if you consider each one to be the house, then how can you get your Erev? It's in a different house because you put it in the house that was sitting in the other chatzar. So then Kometalta Labayat Deloma Arev Le, you're going to be carrying your Erev through a house that is not part of your Erev. Aha, says Rechava. You guys think you're so smart. Let me show you that relativity works perfectly well. And this is the old twin paradox. Did the twin paradox destroy relativity? No, neither does this. Because here's the situation. Two people appoint a shliach to make an Erev for them. Okay. To guy number one, the person, this is an Erev Tchumim, according to Rashi, right? So to guy number one, he puts the Erev down Bein HaShemashos, and the thing was that the other guy, he made the Erev. So to one, he puts it down in the daytime, and to the other one, he does Bein HaShemashos, right? Now, the one Bein HaShemashos, normally the halacha is that you have to have your Erev Miba Odiyom. Okay, but we could be Mekel, remember. The problem is, this is the same guy that's making the two Erevim. The one whose Erev was put down Miba Od Yom, which is not going to be Kona Erev until the nighttime, a doggy came along and ate up his Erev Bein HaShemashos. And the one that he made the Erev Bein HaShemashos, a doggy came along and ate up his Erev after it got dark. So now, the question is, is the Bein HaShemashos a good time to be Kena the Erev for the second guy? And if it's the time that it's Kona the Erev for the second guy, then the first guy was never Kona the Erev, because at the moment that the other guy was Kona the Erev, the first guy's Erev was eaten up by the doggy. On the other hand, if we're going to consider the Bein HaShemashos to be still the daytime and the doggy doesn't matter, so then the other guy was not Kona Erev. The din is both of them are Kona Erev. Huh? Yeah, because relative to one, it's the day, and relative to the other, it's the night. So the twin paradox doesn't bother us, right? Ah, says the Gemara, there's no comparison. Remember, the whole issue with the twin paradox is that the twins never get back together again. The problem is, see, when it comes to Bein HaShemashos, it's a concept, really. So you're saying, okay, for this guy it's considered to be Yom, for this guy it's considered to be Laila. Well, why not? It's a Suffolk. So we're going to paskin like, oh, some Suffolk Yomam, a Suffolk Laila. There's no inherent contradiction in a paradox in which I'm not face-to-face with the issue. And lo minkra milta, it's not noticeably a problem. But over here, when it comes to a chotzer, we're looking at the chotzer and the bias right now, right? And we're asking, okay, is this a bayit or is it a beit shar? Make up your mind, buddy. I mean, if you're calling it a beit shar for A, then it's got to be a beit shar for B. And if it is, then they can't both have their Erev. And that calls us directly to Sir Richard and his special services. Is he ready? Yes. Hadran alach hadar. Now we'll do the Funk Tan Bon Mitzvah Shabbos. Okay.